But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and even to the very ends of the earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
Amen.
He is truly risen.
Amen.
Okay, that was strong over there. It was weaker over here. We're going to work on that. Remember, we only got one more week of Easter, and after that, we're into ordinal time. I want to welcome you guys in the front row. All you gals. Thanks for being here. Thanks for coming into God's house today. It's home. Before we get into what I want to say, I just want to point out some really interesting things about the scriptures. Maybe you didn't catch them. You all know Miss Aislinn, right? It's pretty awesome. Well, did you catch what she said? Do you hear what she called God there in that psalm? She said, God, the awesome. You hear that? That Aislinn just called God awesome. Well, that's in the scriptures. So next time when you come before God in your quiet time in prayer, think about that. God has a title, which is called the awesome. That should change the way you pray. Turn to God and just say, God, you are the awesome. Help me to understand what that even means. Sometime in the future, maybe we'll have a whole homily on what that is. Not today. Did you see what young Fabian did right after the gospel was proclaimed? Did you witness that? What Fabian did right after Deacon finished proclaiming the gospel is he snuffed out this candle. What candle is this? That's right, the Paschal candle, the Easter candle. What does it represent? That's right, Jesus Christ. Well, why did he turn it off right after the gospel? What happened in the gospel that Deacon Marvin read for us? Well, you kind of got it. Mumbles in the back. I heard it there. Jesus ascended into heaven. What does that mean? Jesus left. Se fue. He went. And so the candle is extinguished. Because Jesus isn't with us anymore. Right now, we have 7 days to pray so that we can be ready for the Holy Spirit to come. God's new presence in our life. Not in the flesh as Jesus was in the same way, but through his Spirit living within us. And that's what we need to take to heart, to soul, as we enter into these sacred mysteries. Today, I want to look at a feature, a particular interesting thing about the world. What do you know that about the Chicago Tribune? You've heard of that paper. It's a pretty world-renowned paper. Not just great in the nation, but great all over the world. And if you ever go to Chicago, maybe in your visits, maybe even some of you are going to go to school in Chicago. In Chicago at the Tribune building, it's called, where their headquarters is, it's the Tribune Tower. And when you look at that one, on the face of that, the facade, the very front of that building has an interesting feature to it. It's this. That protruding, extending from the face of that building are 49 interesting objects. In fact, most of them are stones protruding from there. You know why that is? If you look at the face of the building, the reason is because everywhere that these reporters have gone, what they did was when they went on their travels there, they found stones, they found objects, and they brought them back. And eventually, the editor said, why don't we just put those in the front of our building? Because it'll tell everybody about what we're all about. The stones, they come from amazing places within the world. They're like stones from some of those famous cathedrals and palaces all over the world. Stones that they have from the Taj Mahal, from the Pantheon in Rome, from the Hagia Sophia in Turkey, from the Great Pyramid in Giza, Egypt, from the Alamo, from the Great Wall of China even. Yes, the Berlin Wall has a representative there, and also a piece of steel from the World Trade Centers that fell. Just to name a few of them. The stones, what they are, they're a testament. They're a testament to what the mission of that newspaper, the Chicago Tribune, is all about, which is this. They say it's to report on and to share the news of the whole world. Today we're celebrating the feast day of the ascension of Jesus Christ to the right hand of the Father. Jesus ascends to the right hand of the Father and he tells his disciples to do what? To share his good news, to share the gospel, to evangelize the people of the entire world. But Jesus, he's not like the Chicago Tribune. Jesus didn't say, hey, you, my disciples, when I send you forth, what I want you to do is to collect things from every land you go to and spread my word so that everybody can know where you've been. That's not what he said. Jesus said there in that gospel, he said, you, my disciples, my Catholics, go. You're my body. And wherever it is that you go, that you travel to, I go too. Because I am always with you. See, brothers and sisters, by our baptism, by the baptism which we receive from God, each one of us are actually God's presence here in the world. At baptism, what God did is he began his work in you, claiming you as his own. In confirmation, what he did was he turned to you and he said, you are fully anointed with the power of my Spirit, so that you can be soldiers, warriors for Christ in this world. And we need warriors and we need soldiers in this world. And that's what you, as lions, must go forth and do. Look at the first reading. What does it say in the first reading? In the reading from Acts that we have there that Ms. Garnand read for us. Acts chapter 1. What's going on is Jesus is giving his final instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles, which Jesus has chosen. But as he's doing that, the disciples turn to him and they say, "Jesus, Lord, are you at this time going to establish your kingdom here for all of Israel?" What does that say? It shows us that the disciples, even though they saw Jesus and all his miracles throughout his life, even though they saw his passion, his death, his resurrection, they still don't get it. They still don't understand what Jesus came to establish. They were thinking he wanted to establish an earthly kingdom. So he came to have a kingdom here on this earth that's visible, but that's not it. He came to establish a kingdom within the hearts of every man, woman, and child. He came to bring not a political peace, but to bring peace within the souls, which is most important within the world. To show truth, to give life to all who would really wish to be free by clinging to him. Then Jesus gives us his mission. And that's in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. What did he say? You read it for us, Ms. Garnett. Jesus said, "Go you therefore," well, he said, but when you will receive power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and even to the very ends of the earth. This is the kingdom that Jesus Christ came to establish. It's not something that's going to be formed by political undertakings. It's something that's going to be formed by the power of his own Holy Spirit, which he sent to dwell within each one of you and to inform you and to empower you in the decisions you make within your lives, if you let him. What happened on that Pentecost, from that moment, is that why Jesus was there within their presence, why the disciples gathered together, they looked out and they said, "We need the Holy Spirit within our lives. It's going to come. How do we prepare?" So what did they do? They turned to the only person they knew who still had the Holy Spirit. Who's that? Blessed Virgin Mary. They turned to her. Why? When did she receive the Holy Spirit? When she was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit at the Annunciation. She had the Holy Spirit within her. She knew exactly what it was to be prepared to receive power from on high that Jesus is talking about. So what did the disciples do? They all got together and they huddled around Mary and said, "Mary, how do we get ready for that? How do we do that?" They grabbed her arm and said, "Mary, will you be my prayer partner? So that I can be ready to do the things which God is going to call us to do. I don't know what it's going to be like." It's the same for you. When you go out into the world, when you discover what God is trying to call you to, you need the help of somebody who has the Holy Spirit, and nobody has had it better than the Blessed Virgin Mary. Ask her to be your prayer partner. Ask her to help you to discover what God is actually calling you to do. That's what happened at Pentecost, and what you see in this image that I have right here. Focus on that. The disciples gathered around Mary asking God for the Holy Spirit, and they received it. Look at the second reading. The second reading, which Nicolette, you read for us, it's Paul talking to the Ephesians in chapter 1. I'm going to give you the lead into what it is so it makes more sense to you when you hear it. This is what St. Paul says. He says, "I do not cease giving thanks to God for you, remembering you in all of my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation resulting in the knowledge of him. May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened or opened, so that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call. Each one of you are called. What are the riches of his glory in his inheritance among the holy ones, the saints, which you're called to be? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe?" So what's Paul reminding us here? St. Paul is saying here, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep your eyes focused upon him, he who has gone before you to heaven. Just as that candle was extinguished, Jesus left us, he went up to heaven. And so what he is doing in that moment is he's saying this, "I'm going to the right hand of the Father, and so your humanity in Christ Jesus is actually seated at the right hand of God the Father. Your humanity has already been to heaven. It's for you to follow in that same footsteps." That's what our hope is as Christians, as Catholics. The ascension of Jesus Christ isn't Jesus abandoning us and leaving us. He's not saying, "Hey, you guys, deal with this thing. I'm going up because I don't want to deal with it anymore." He's not abandoning us. No, when Jesus went, he said, "No, I'm going to be present with you in a different way than I've ever been present to you before. Via the living, the indwelling, the living within you of the Holy Spirit, those who believe. Via the sacraments, which God has given us to strengthen us so that we can make it to eternal life." The second reading concludes in this way. Read it for yourselves. It says this, "And the Father has put all things beneath the feet of Jesus Christ, and he has made Jesus head over all things for the sake of the church, which is his body." Have you thought about that before? That you are his hands? That you are the very feet of Jesus Christ? Think about that. I'm reminded of the 1977 film, Oh God. And that's before any of you were born, right? It's also before I was born too, so we're in the same footsteps. It's a really funny movie and very clean. What it is a movie which is played by the chief character by John Denver, that great singer-songwriter that your parents know about. What he does is in the middle of that, when he's having this conversation with God, who's played by George Burns, he begins turning to God and he says, "Hey God, why haven't you fixed all these problems here on earth?" And he begins to give a litany of all the problems, all the difficulties, all the sufferings, all the evils that he sees facing his modern life in the world. And after he's finished that litany of attacking God in that way, the actor who's playing God turns to him and says this. After he said, "God, why haven't you fixed all these problems here on earth?" God turns to him and he says, "Well, why haven't you?" And that's the real rub. Why haven't you? Jesus left a mission in our hands. We have no one to blame for the problems of the world than ourselves. It's not God who dropped the ball, to use a sports analogy. It's y'all. Y'all dropped the ball. Why are there evils in the world? Because you've not done anything to destroy them and to defeat them. This is what I think about when I think about the Feast of the Ascension. I'm an athlete, so this is what I think about. The Feast of the Ascension, what I think about is that I think of it as being just the first leg of a relay race. You know what those relays are all about. And the 4x1, who runs the first leg? Who did it? I know it wasn't you, Miss Garnan. There you go, right there. It was you, Jaden. And who was the second? What? That's right, it was Krista, Miss Krista. And then who was the third? Jaylen, that's right. And who was the fourth? Right there, Miss Garnan. Okay, we had to keep it from being Garnan to Garnan so that we could keep them straight. When you're running a relay race, you know this better than I do. You know sports better than I do. You've participated in them longer. What is it? What's the most important aspect of running a relay race? What is coach always on your backside for when you're running a relay race? What's the most important thing? It's not running fast. That's the least important thing. What is it? You know?
Finish.
Oh, you got to finish to the end, yes, but even more than that, before you even get there, you can't finish if you forget this thing. My coach, Coach Scartwood, the coach of Hope Christian, he's still the coach there. He used to yell at me all the time and he said, "Don't drop the baton." Right? Don't drop the baton. What happens if you drop the baton? What happens? You drop the baton in practice, what are you going to do? Coach is going to make you run another round of sprints, right? That way you don't forget. It's the same thing if you fumble the football. The coach is going to make you run another round of sprints so you don't forget about that. You got to hang on to the ball. You got to hang on to the baton. I had to run a lot of sprints, and that's why I didn't end up making too many relays after I dropped the baton. But that's what our Lord is doing here. If you drop the baton, the race is over. Everybody else flies by. You got to be able to hold onto the baton. Well, it's the same thing in the life of faith, brothers and sisters. It's the same thing. The baton isn't a stick, isn't an aluminum piece of metal. It's the light of Christ. It's not a mere baton. It's actually a torch that he hands into your hands at the moment of your baptism, when you become baptized. Jesus ran that first leg of the race within the world with his perfect life, with his passion and his suffering, with his resurrection, and then finally at his ascension, he hands it on to you. And when he hands it off, he says, "Now it's your turn. Now it's my turn." That's the question. What are you doing in the race? The race of our lives. What are you doing with the God's grace that he's given you? Have you dropped it? Have you muffed the baton? Have you bobbled the handoff? What's going on in your life? Are we still witnessing to God's work within our lives? Is the light of Christ still burning within your hearts? That light which was set aflame within your hearts at holy baptism, which he intensified within each one of you and strengthened through your confirmation as he refuels you each and every week that you come to receive Holy Communion. Because if you don't, you're running on empty. You gotta guess. Are we still witnessing to the light of Christ within our lives? Are we living a life with Christ Monday through Saturday and not just something that we do on Sundays? Are we handing it off to other people? Are we actually helping our children, our parents, our siblings to live out the life of faith? Are we taking on our roles as confirmation sponsors or as godparents baptismally seriously? Or is it just some sort of honor that we accepted and said, "Well, I filled a role, now they're on their own"? Are we being deadbeat godparents? Are we content with merely complaining about the evils that we see all around us in the world instead of doing something about it? St. Francis of Assisi said this. He said, "It's better to light one candle at a time in the midst of a dark room than just cursing that darkness." Do something about it. That's what we're sending you forth as our graduates to do something about the darkness that is penetrating our world. It's on you to do it. God has asked us to bring his light into the world and charged us to run the next leg of the race. On your own, you can't do it, though. It's too difficult a task for one person to be able to do, but guess what? You're not alone. You're not alone. In any way, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. That's why he went, so that the Holy Spirit could come and dwell within our very lives. This is how I like to think about the Holy Spirit. Imagine for me, if you will, a 10-gallon container of gasoline right here. We got all that gas there. Now strike a match. Hold it above that container and let it go. What happens? That's right. Somebody just said it right there. Yeah, it goes boom. It's like the 4th of July. It's like what you see right here. Tongues of flame bursting out everywhere, right? But it's wasted. It's wasted. What good did that do? You just blew your eyebrows off. That didn't help. What we need to do is look right there at that image right there. The Holy Spirit didn't just hover over the heads of the apostles and the Blessed Virgin Mary. It actually entered into their souls. And that's when something happened, when it came within. Now think of it this way. You got that 10-gallon tank of gas. Well, instead of leaving it there, pour it into the tank of your car. Then that's where something you can use, right? You turn the ignition switch, and what happens is that your car is going to go and push forward to wherever it is that you need to go. That's what the Holy Spirit is supposed to be like within our lives. We have to let the fire of the Holy Spirit not just remain outside of us, but it has to actually come within our souls so that it can be used and propel us forward in the mission which God has sent us within our lives. That's the mission, to do his work of mercy, to proclaim the good news to those who are brokenhearted and have no hope within their lives, to release prisoners to sin, to freedom of the Spirit, of the sons and daughters of God, to spread the light into a world that's covered and shrouded in darkness, to give clarity and truth to a world that's full of confusion and error. That's what God wants to do in your lives. But are we harnessing the power of the Holy Spirit? Or have we dropped the baton? That's what we need to pray about today. To pray that we can run the race of faith well, so that we can lead others to join that race with us by our example primarily, but also by words of encouragement, because we need those from time to time. Pray now. Pray for the Holy Spirit within your lives, because what God is calling each one of you to do as graduates is something great and amazing, but you can only do it if you remain with Christ, with God in you, to be able to accomplish these tasks before you. I encourage you to pray to the Holy Spirit every day so you can know what he's calling you to open yourselves up to receive his message, because God speaks to us every single day of our lives. Problem is, most of the time, you're not listening. You're not listening to what God wants to do within your lives. So that's what I ask you to do. Pray any prayer to the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's one that you learned when you were a child, that great prayer, classic one, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in the fire their love, and all those things. Maybe it's a simple prayer, come Holy Spirit. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Any prayer to the Holy Spirit you can think of, pray it every day, especially this week as we prepare for Pentecost. Because when you pray that way, you're going to be able to receive and to utilize the power of God that he has in store for each and every one of you. Power that you need to run the race. Power you need to be able to pass on that torch, that baton, to those who go beyond you. I'm going to close in a prayer. I'm going to pray for each of you. I want you to pray it silently within your own hearts as well, and ask the effects of the Holy Spirit to truly take root within your lives. This is my prayer for you. This is the prayer of the church for you. It begins, O Holy Spirit of God, take us as your disciples. Guide us, illumine us, sanctify us. Bind our hands that they may do no evil. Cover our eyes that we may see it no more. Sanctify our hearts that evil may not dwell within us. O Spirit of wisdom, preside over all our thoughts, words, and actions from this hour until the very moment of our death. O Spirit of understanding, enlighten and teach us the truths of our Catholic faith. O Spirit of counsel, direct our inexperience that we might now make good choices. O Spirit of fortitude, strengthen our weakness that we may be courageous soldiers and warriors for Christ in all circumstances to witness to your name. O Spirit of knowledge, instruct our ignorance that we may know what actions lead us to heaven, in which actions might lead us to hell. O Spirit of piety, make us fervent in prayer and good works, that we may always love you as our Father. O Spirit of holiness, grant us the fear of offending you, our Lord, so that we may always know your divine love forever and ever. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.